Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is WPRI.com digital reporter Ted Nesi. Thanks for joining us, Ted.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome as our special guest the mayor of Cumberland, Dan McKee. Thank you for joining us, Mayor.
Good morning, Ian. Thank you for the invite.
There's no better time to bury a news release than the Friday afternoon before a holiday. That's when the Chafee administration shared word that George Carullo won't be leading the new combined State Board of Education. A day later, word came that Eva Marie Mancuso will chair the board. Ted, what's your take on this? Is this change involving Carullo a reflection of how he has ties to both Governor Lincoln Chafee and Providence Mayor Angel Taveras?
It certainly could be. I won't claim to have a lot of inside information, especially since, as you say, this came down at a perfect time for a news dump. But I also wonder how much this could have been impacted by Carullo being concerned about whether the board is going to be a poison chalice, because it was passed, as we know, very late in the session by the Assembly with no hearings or discussion. There's a lot of concern in the education community about whether this board will be able to function effectively. It's not even up and in place yet. So, you know, I think there's a lot of questions still to be done, but it's certainly not off to a good start to already have lost its first, the person who would have been its first leader.
Maureen, what's your explanation for Carullo's departure?
Well, my guess would be that the critical factor in this was that George Carullo was in a position to manage what appeared to be a big and very unwieldy structure. I think what happened was they were setting up for confirmations, and the list of who the other board members would be coming out. And my hunch is that Eva Marie Mancuso was the one, of course, who spearheaded the end run around the legislature in terms of the in-state tuition and made that a policy of the Board of Governors. So that's made her a lightning rod and somewhat controversial. So one scenario could be that Mr. Carullo saw the list of nominees and decided that he wasn't going to stay on given those conditions. And my concern now is that is there going to be a fight over the confirmation? Every single one of these people has to be confirmed in the Senate. So this has become highly political, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Mayor McKee, education policy is one of your issues, so let's get your take on Carullo's departure. And what do you think about this whole combined State Board of Education? Is this a disaster in the making, or do you think the state will be able to figure it out?
If you get the right people involved, it'll work. But at the moment, it seems like they're off to a very slow start, and that's concerning. So I wouldn't be surprised if they take a couple steps back and kind of delay the process to a certain degree until they feel as though they have everything lined up to make the difference of what we need to have in an education situation. So you don't want to take a step back at this point in time. A lot of progress has been made, and this is a little bump in the road.
Why do you think Carullo left, and why do you think the news came out on the Friday before Christmas?
I really don't know. I know George to a certain degree through the Board of Regents and have had a number of conversations with him. I think he certainly has an interest in moving education forward. We're not certain. I can't say that we've agreed on every way to do that. But he's saying it's time. I'm not sure that that's the real reason, but I'll leave it at that.
Mayor McKee was kind enough to join us, so let's go with a few questions for our special guest. There's some speculation that you'll be a candidate for lieutenant governor in 2014. You can make some news right here. What do you say?
Well, I'm not ready to announce, but I certainly am interested in that position.
Let's go to Ted.
Why would you be? Everyone says that position is pointless and should be abolished.
I don't agree.
Why?
I think that policy really is very important for the state, and I think that that's a really good spot to not only create policy but actually generate the conversation that needs to be had. So I see that as a real very good spot to be in this time frame for Rhode Island that's in dire need of kind of keeping its sight on what's right, and that's a good position to work on that.
Let's go to Maureen.
I could just comment on that. I'd like to agree with you. I think when you think about the lieutenant governor and the way our system works, to have someone who is knowledgeable, say, on education, given what is going to be going on with merging these boards and having someone oversee, K through 12 as well as higher education, it would seem to me the governor would be well served to have someone there as his liaison in terms of policy development and then with the legislature and with the board. So I agree with you. I think we need a lieutenant governor, and these kind of policy questions is a good place to have someone help along with the executive.
As we head toward the new year, high unemployment continues to bedevil Rhode Island. Meanwhile, the top news story of 2012 was the state's disastrous investment in 38 studios. It would seem the main lessons here are that elected officials need to be both wiser and more energetic in trying to catalyze Rhode Island's economy. Mayor, what do you say? Will these lessons be taken to heart by public officials in 2013?
Well, I think they will. I need to take a step back and review that situation. There's no doubt about that. Hopefully we just don't get gun-shy on things that are important as well. So I think there is a certain balance there that needs to be brought to the table. And it was a good example of an overreach.
Maureen, Rhode Island often seems to be the inertia state. Will things be any different in 2013? Will elected officials learn from what happened in 2012?
Well, I think in this case, they should proceed cautiously, but I think there's too much emphasis on exactly what type of plan. I think we know we need accountability. We know we need some oversight so we can figure out what kinds of economic initiatives do pay off and don't pay off. But again, it comes to people. And the real key here is to have people that are knowledgeable, accountable, and have some expertise and are in this for the long haul. So I'm not as concerned about the structure as I am about transparency and accountability and people that have experience in government and know how to handle these issues.
Ted, what salient lessons do you think elected officials should take to heart for the new year?
Well, I'd like to see them take the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. You know, I think we see so often making bad decisions where no decision would have been better. I mean, just not creating the 38 Studios program in retrospect might have been a better idea. They've done very little with the money that wasn't allocated to 38 Studios, and we know how everyone feels about the rest. The Board of Education we were talking about earlier passed very abruptly without hearings, and now there are concerns. You know, a lot of people saying that most states don't put those two functions together, managing K-12 and managing higher ed. And now Rhode Island will, without really discussing whether we should. So I think just a little more caution and a little more concern about the downside risks of decisions being made would be nice to see in 13.
There continues to be a lot of discussion about how to reduce gun violence in the aftermath of the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. Mayor Tavares is planning gun buybacks with some other mayors. There have been other proposals to try and crack down or make gun regulations more stringent in Rhode Island. Mayor, what's your sense of how much impact a state can have within its own borders in reducing gun violence?
I think it's going to be a federal issue. But locally, I know what we're focused on, which is the safety of the kids. And we're putting a great deal of effort with our police department in the schools at the moment and wherever kids are, quite frankly. So I think that locally we can have a great deal to do with in terms of the safety of the kids and the issue.
I don't disagree, but I think we can go a step further. I mean, it's a federal issue, yes, but as in so many other cases, the states are laboratories of democracy, and they can pass stringent regulations when it comes to buying, selling, registering, etc. And I think we need to move in that direction. New England has the lowest crime rates as a region in the country. It is a more gentle environment, and we have the right to insist on promoting that kind of ethic by laws, state laws. And I think you have to start somewhere, and we can start at the state level.
The good news, of course, is Rhode Island has the sixth lowest rate of gun deaths in the U.S. and one of the lowest gun ownership rates at 13%. So if you're worried about gun control and gun violence, this is actually a place that seems to be doing pretty well on that score.
Mayor, what else should Rhode Islanders know about what's happening in Cumberland and with your local government there?
We've got the same ills as a number of other communities in terms of pension issues. We have a local pension that needs to really be addressed, which we're trying to do, and also the OPEB issue there.
Other post-employment benefits,
yes,
for,
yes,
those.
Not everyone knows that?
Not everyone. By now, they will, I think. I think that's certainly the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about to the degree that we are. But I think those are important issues.
What about the state's case? Where are you on that? You think they've got a good case and they may win?
I think that I don't know. I think that it's in the courts, so you're taking direction from the courts right now. You're going into some form of mediation. I think it'll be interesting to see. I think that most of what's there will hold up.
And we're talking about the pension case, of course. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Maureen.
Thank you.
Ted Nesi.
Happy New Year.
And Cumberland Mayor Dan McKee.
Thank you, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. If you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org, as well as Nisi's notes at wpri.com, and Happy New Year to all our listeners.